Opening day. So Isaiah 56, remember 55, great chapter about the Word of God, about returning to the Lord, about God's mercy. God's ways are higher than our ways. But chapter 56, God rebuking Israel for a very important topic. Notice beginning in verse 1, "Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also, the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord, to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, Yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. So the title tonight is House of Prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just want to please you tonight. We pray you guide us in your word as we concentrate on this great topic. May it just, Lord, renew in our soul that desire to spend time with you, that sweet hour of prayer. And so, Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would take the word and apply it to each of our lives. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as he says there in verse 1, my salvation is near to come. And then he reminds them in verse 4, to take hold of his covenant. God here is reminding Israel that they are his people and that one day they will be in his house. We talked a bit about that in our Sunday school class this morning, that we will have a place to be with God forever. Because he says there in verse 5, at the end of the verse, I will give them an everlasting name. And so those who take hold of God's covenant, which of course is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, will receive an everlasting name. As we know, we receive everlasting life. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life, Jesus said in John 6:47. And so it's a beautiful truth, beautiful promise that those who take hold of the covenant of God receive an everlasting name. It says in verse 6, the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord. Now that's you and me. Because we're not Jews by blood. Excuse me. We are the sons of the stranger. But we've joined ourselves to the Lord. Amen. So we get in on the program, this Jewish program. And God says that we can also take hold of his covenant. Go, if you would, to Hebrews 12. And we'll read about this covenant. Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 24. Hebrews 12:24. Notice the Bible says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." The new covenant, or the New Testament, as it's often referred to, has been sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the covenant that you and I, as the sons of strangers, verse 6, get to take part of, this new covenant. And he says, verse 7, even them will I bring to my holy mountain. Now, we all know that this word mountain often refers to a kingdom. So let's go to Isaiah 11 and be reminded of that this evening. Isaiah 11, verse 4, talking about God's holy mountain. And when God says this, he's usually referring to his coming kingdom that will be here on earth. that even the sons of the stranger can be part of. Notice verse 4 of Isaiah 11. But with the righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall he be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child to lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. Verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. God's holy mountain. The sons of the stranger can be there if they'll take hold of the new covenant, which has been sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But the heart of the message tonight is verse 7, where God reminds His people that His house is to be a house of prayer. Notice He says, even to them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Now, if you'll remember, if you go to Mark chapter 11, the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked the money changers at the temple of God. And when He did, He quoted this truth. So go to Mark chapter 11 and we'll see this. Mark chapter 11, verse 17. And He taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. It was a place to go and worship God. And these money changers had turned it into a place to make money. What happened was people would travel from a long way to make their sacrifice unto the Lord. So rather than carry their animal for days and days, they would come and they would instead buy one at the temple. And people were making a huge profit off of selling these animals and with the exchanges of the money from different countries and so forth. And that's when Jesus, of course, overthrew the tables and drove them out with a whip. But He also reminded them, my house is to be a house of prayer. So knowing that that is the case, we ask ourselves the question, where is God's house today? There is no temple in Jerusalem that we can go and find the presence of God. So where is this temple? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3 and see how we can apply this to our individual lives as Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice in verse 16, the Bible says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? During the church age, and I know we already know this, but during the church age, you and I, if we're born again, we are the temple of God. And God said His house is to be a house of prayer. So, though we aren't a ornate building in Jerusalem, we are still the temple of God. And the question is our temple a house of prayer? Is it a place where we spend time with God? Do we pray? The Bible makes it very clear He wants us to pray. Luke 18:1, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And we could go on and on. God wants His people to be a people of prayer. And now that we are His house, He wants us as His people to pray. Also, whatsoever things you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Matthew 21:22. God wants his people to be a people of prayer. You know, the disciples came to Jesus one day and they said, "Teach us to pray." And we know Jesus gave them what's often referred to as the Lord's Prayer, but I would refer to it as a model prayer. But then he told them some parables about people not giving up in praying, people not stopping to pray, or not stopping their prayers, but just keep asking, keep asking, keep asking. God wants his house to be a house of prayer. And the question is it? If we could, let's go over to John in chapter 14. And Jesus here is talking about prayer. And as God's children, as the sons of strangers that have joined ourselves to Jehovah, as we read about there in verse 6, who one day will be able to see God in his glory, in his house, who've taken hold of the covenant, are we a house of prayer now? And notice here in John 14, Jesus makes some interesting, very simple but very interesting statements about prayer. He says, verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments." That's a small verse, but think about what Christ is saying there. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's a pretty powerful truth. That if we will, obviously the Bible teaches we must be praying in the will of God, which means we must be close to God. How else do we know what the will of God is? The Bible says in Ephesians 5, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Where do we find that? We find it by being in God's Word and by spending time with God and allowing the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives. And when we're in tune with God's will, then this verse will come to pass. If you shall ask anything in my name. When he says in my name, he doesn't just mean that we close it within Jesus' name. He means that we're praying in accordance with Jesus Christ's will. And that's only revealed to us through his Word and the Holy Spirit as we're yielded to him. So, simple question tonight, is God's house, this building, is God's house a house of prayer? We often sing that hymn, "Sweet Hour of Prayer." Some Christians think that's not even possible, to pray for an entire hour. It sounds like a long time. Maybe we can watch a TV show for an hour, but can we pray for an hour? Think about it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 if we could, and just to be reminded that God has made for us access to his throne through Jesus Christ. And God, therefore, is wanting us to avail ourselves of that access. Notice Hebrews 4. Verse 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Look at verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." What's he saying? We can come boldly to the throne of Almighty God. It's called prayer. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. "That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Well, I'll ask this evening, when do we need grace? When do we have that need? Pretty much all the time we need grace for something, don't we? Where do we find it? By taking this house of prayer to the throne of grace and asking. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 3, "You have not because you ask not." That's a simple statement, but it's so true in so many ways. And then if we could look at 1 Peter chapter 4 just quickly. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. Notice what the Lord says. "The end of all things is at hand." Well, that's never been more true than it is today. We can see the end is near. Jesus is coming soon. Knowing that to be the case, what does he say? Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Knowing that it's coming, knowing that it's close, watch unto prayer. Be praying. Be committing it to the Lord. And then one more, 1 John, please, chapter 3 and verse 22. Notice what the Lord says. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I love the first part of that verse. Whatsoever we ask. Is God's house a house of prayer? Now, we just looked at a sampling tonight. I hope that some of your memory verses are related to prayer. If they aren't, they should be. Because God saved us from hell. God's indwelled us. God's given us eternal life. God's promised us a home in heaven. And what does He ask? He asks us to spend time with Him and to serve Him. You think about it. Spend time with Him. He created us for fellowship. We see it in the garden before the fall. That was lost through the fall. It's been restored. Now He wants that fellowship again. He wants us to spend time with Him. O thou that hearest prayer, the Bible says, unto thee shall all flesh come. In Psalm 65:2. So is God's house a house of prayer? Go back to our passage, Isaiah 56. Notice at the end of verse 7, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Isn't that good? Whosoever will. For all people. Not just exclusive, but all people that will come to the throne of Almighty God through the blood of Jesus Christ can have access to the throne through Jesus Christ. All people. Verse 8, the Lord God which gathereth the outcasts of Israel saith, yet will I gather others to Him beside those that are gathered unto Him. Go to 2 Peter 3:9. We'll be reminded tonight that God would gather others. Again, that's us. That's us. We are the others. We're the non-Jews that have trusted Jesus Christ, that Jesus would gather unto Himself. Notice 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All. And now, just one more verse, Revelation chapter 7, if you turn there, verse 9. I love this verse because of how many people are mentioned. This is one of the scenes in heaven about these others that God's gathered unto Himself. Revelation 7:9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, look at this next phrase, which no man could number. Isn't that good? Of all nations, kindreds, people, tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, which no man could number. Sometimes God gives a number, like we saw this morning, 1,000,000. There's 1,000,000 people. This says no man could number. Those are the others. Those are the sons of the strangers that have taken hold of the new covenant. And because of that, we are now part of God's plan, God's program, God's family. And now we have been made the temple of Almighty God. We need to take that truth soberly. Not only keep the temple pure for Him, but also realize that God wants His house to be a house of prayer. Think about what Jesus did at that temple that day. He got angry. Turned those tables over. Drove out those money changers with a whip. Think about that. It made Jesus angry to see His house being used for something besides what it was meant for. And that's a house of prayer. Well, now we're that house. He wants us to treat that house with respect, with keep it pure for Him, because it is the temple of Almighty God. Is God's house a house of prayer? What a question. I hope we can wholeheartedly say, yes, my house is a house of prayer. Let's go to the Lord.